Today on the Travel Guys.
In the travel news, the big story is the reduction of flights around the country. I flew through one of the 40 airports on the reduced flight list yesterday and have a report. We'll also talk about what type of service is being impacted by the cuts, all coming up next in the travel news.
In our Smarter Traveler segment at 11:22, we discuss how hotels are following airlines by unbundling services. A new trend is charging you for parking, whether you have a car in the lot or not. Wait a second, Mark. That can't be right. How can they charge me for parking a car if I don't have a car to park?
Welcome to the new wonderful hospitality game. Let's see how badly we can nickel and dime our customers before they revolt on us. The back half of the program is something you'll really want to be here for.
Our special interview is with Gary Gerald, the G-Man, who's been traveling with the Sacramento Kings since 1983. We'll talk hotels and restaurants and hear the story of how Gary came to be the only radio voice the Kings have ever had. Great story starting at 11:55.
Gary Gerald, a traveling Sacramento icon for sure. Thank you for coming along this Saturday morning. We've got your shutdown travel updates coming next on the Travel Guys.
On the road again.
I've been everywhere, man.
Aruba, Jamaica,
solo Seattle.
Get your kicks on Route 66.
Let's go on with the show.
Welcome, everyone, to another edition of the Travel and Entertainment Guys, brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations. Mark Hoffman and Tom Romano with you. Thanks for coming along. I'm here in my studio in Sacramento, and Mark is in another country.
Yes, sir. I'm standing here right now at my hotel window at the Westin Hotel in downtown Ottawa. I happen to have a spectacular view of Parliament Hill from my room. And if you've never been to Ottawa before, Canada's capital city, it is much more European. In fact, the province of Quebec is just across the river here. So it's France is literally right next door here. And much of the architecture and things of that sort in Canada, if you haven't traveled here, particularly in eastern Canada, looks much like the architecture in the eastern United States, except maybe even a little bit more European. This is really, really a nice city, Tom. One of my favorite places to visit.
Well, I know you're there for a conference, getting a chance to spend time with other tour operators around the country. Have you had a chance to have a fine meal or a restaurant experience or something you'd like to share?
We found this wonderful place last night in the Byward Market. If folks have been to Ottawa before, you'll know that's an outdoor collection of shops and restaurants and the like. We had dinner at a place called The Brig, which had some fairly interesting pictures of on the wall. You can kind of imagine, you know, people tied up and stuff like that. But the food was wonderful. And the restaurant was very crowded. And other than just some unique pictures on the wall, there wasn't, you know, they didn't haul away any of the guests in chains or anything like that. Or, you know, we weren't served by bound people. But anyway, The Brig, which is in Byward Market, is a wonderful place to dine. And I'm here at the Westin, which is one of the convention hotels. And this wouldn't be, you know, the Westin isn't one of the upper tiers, but if you're somebody who can afford to pay the freight, the Westin here in town is turning out to be a very wonderful experience. Ottawa is going to look a lot different by this time tomorrow than it does today. It's about 35 degrees outside. There's no wind. Fall colors are pretty much in, I would say, just past peak here, but there are some lovely oranges and yellows out my window. But tomorrow, it's the first snowstorm of the season. It's supposed to hit about noon, and by dark tomorrow night, there'll be half a dozen inches of snow on the ground here in Ottawa.
All right. Boy, I imagine you guys spending a lot of time talking about travel or no travel and the government shutdown and all of that, which takes us to where we are at the top of every Travel Guys radio program. We spend some time bringing you up to date with the travel news. And with today's edition of the Travel News, all the way from Ottawa, once again, Mark Hoffman.
Hey, before we start the travel news here, one thing we forgot to mention in the opening there. If you didn't hear the headlines at the bottom of the hour, we have an extended interview, full confession that we taped with Gary Gerald, who you will know as the longtime broadcaster for the Sacramento Kings. If you've been in town long enough, you'll remember when Gary Gerald was the sportsman on Channel 3. He also did a lot of work for NBC Sports, and we have an extended interview with him. The whole back half of the hour is Gary talking with us, and he's one of the greatest people that you'll ever meet, and he has some fantastic stories. So if you're not a travel person but you're a basketball fan, be sure that you're back on the radio here at 11:35 if you wander away, because Gary is going to be joining us. Okay, let's talk about airlines here. This is likely to change fairly quickly, is my guess, sometime next week. But for right now, airlines are in a mandatory FAA reduction of air service. They are shooting for 10%. They started at 4% yesterday. They're going to try to bounce it up a percent a day until they get to 10, which would make it sometime in the middle of next week. You might think that 10% of the air traffic reducing that much wouldn't make a difference, but I will tell you it does. I was in Chicago yesterday and connected there. We were in the airport for about an hour in the middle of the day when normally it would be a zoo, and it was only about half of a zoo. So those of you who connect regularly in Chicago know what I'm talking about. But the airport was a little quieter. The concession lines were a little shorter. And there was a little bit less chaos. And I think that's exactly what they're trying to create here. We've got to slow the system down a little bit because we've got a lot of people, air traffic controllers, who are working even more overtime than usual, TSA people who are going without pay. And I can't imagine this going a whole lot further, because my concern is the people on the front line at TSA and whether or not, I mean, think about yourself and whatever job that you do. If you miss two paychecks, how would that impact your life? And you don't know when the next one is coming, but you keep telling the people that you owe money to, hey, don't worry, the government's going to give me all this money as soon as they open up again. And so it's been over a month, so I can see where those folks are getting a little nervous. I will tell you, however, that, Tom, that with my interactions with the TSA people in Sacramento yesterday, you know, there were no grumpy Gusses. It was that everybody was nice, and I did what I had suggested that some of you do if you are going through the airport, and that is just tell them thank you for coming to work today. And the response that I got, I tried to spread as much love as I could, but the response I got was, hey, no problem, you know, you're welcome, stuff like that. I really think that telling those people thank you and showing them a little appreciation right now might be one of the best investments that we can make. And our TSA guys in Sacramento are not allowed to go on the air and discuss the shutdown right now, and that's somewhat understandable. But having seen for myself out there at, what was it, about 5 o'clock in the morning on Friday, normally a fairly busy time, the TSA wait was nothing out of the ordinary, either pre-check or regular. Everything seemed to be functioning fairly well, except, like I said, when we got to Chicago, it was a little less busy than usual.
Well, you know, if you people that have been watching the news, of course, and wondering what's going on, there was talk of 3-4 hour delays at some TSA sites in the country, and it makes everybody kind of stop and think, wow, how do you deal with something like that? With the number of flights that are looking at being canceled and so forth. What have you heard about things like that?
Well, the TSA thing, just remember, that's all going to be kind of random. I expect that it's going to get worse because we're dealing with folks who don't make a tremendous amount of money, and they're going to have money coming in. And guess what? The holiday season is coming up, which is usually a little bit more impactful on people's wallets. So that's just a concern. I just think this whole thing is so unfair to people who, I mean, you're asking these people to work and not get paid, and that's fine for like a few days or a week, but we're past a month on this now. Listen, I do want to add one thing, Tom, about the type of service that's being pulled. And I've spent some time doing some homework on this. What you're seeing is a lot of the short hop flights are going away. For example, in Sacramento yesterday, the only thing that went down were two of the four nonstops, the short hops to San Francisco. So people often from Sacramento will take a United flight to San Francisco to catch up with a nonstop or an international flight or something that isn't available to them in Sacramento, a transcontinental or something to that effect. So two of those four flights, both coming in and going out, were not on the board. In Los Angeles, there were a couple of the Los Angeles-San Diego flights were off, and one of the Los Angeles-Palm Springs flights was down, and one of the Los Angeles-San Luis Obispo flights were down. These are regional jets that handle fewer customers. So when you cancel a regional jet, you're knocking out 75 or 90 passengers as opposed to knocking out 150, 200 passengers on a full-size aircraft. It still takes an air traffic controller to land that plane and make it take off and stuff. So by taking it out of the mix, you really are truly taking a little bit of stress out of the system without and inconveniencing as few people as possible. Hypothetically, the airlines, I know United for sure is doing this. They have notified people tomorrow for Sunday if your flight is not operating. So what you need to do if you're flying to a secondary or a tertiary city, that's where you could be more in trouble. If a city only has a couple flights a day, they're not going to knock them both out, but they might only fly one of them for a while. So smaller city pairs are what is going to be your most difficult things. All of the airports that are on this, well, not all of them, but I'd say 35, 36 that are on the 40 are hub airports for some airline. There are a few exceptions like Washington National, Oakland. Most of them are airports that are in the shadow of an airport that is on the list also. So like Oakland, San Francisco, there's a lot of traffic around the bay. It makes logical sense that if you're going to slow down San Francisco, that you're probably going to slow down Oakland also. If you are flying while this is going on, a few suggestions to you. First of all, I've said this before, but you've got to have the airlines app on your phone. I mean, you really have to have that. United has a tremendous app. Some of the others are getting better. Delta's is pretty good. Southwest now has a feature that some of the others have, which allows you to find out where is your plane coming from and is it on time or delayed. Southwest only goes back one flight. United's will take you back a full 24 hours. Why is this important? Because the current flight status isn't always updated promptly, or the airlines may be hoping that something can happen that might not happen, so they haven't delayed your flight yet, even though they know your inbound flight is seriously delayed. So you can look at those things online and see where your airplane is. Is it running into trouble? Is it heading for Chicago and they're having a snowstorm there? So that's obviously problematic. The apps are just incredibly invaluable, and I strongly recommend that if you're flying, you get the airlines app on your phone and that you check it when you get up in the morning at 1:30 before you take the shower and drive to the airport for the 5 o'clock flight that now isn't operating. So just make sure. Also, a lot of those early morning flights, the plane has to come in the night before. So if there's no plane the night before and they didn't cancel something late that evening, then you're not going anywhere the next morning. So get the app. If you don't have the app or the ability to do that, then make sure that you check with your airline before you head to the airport. Major hubs are not being affected too much. It's the smaller cities that are mostly being impacted. Tom?
Well, okay, thank you. That was good information. Somebody had mentioned to me that Southwest may have cut or is planning on cutting some of the multitude of flights to Las Vegas. Have you seen any of that?
I haven't. I'll take a look at it. On Southwest app is not like some of the others. You have to look up each flight individually. But again,
right,
that's a hub airport for them. That's a hub. And while there are other carriers, Delta flies to Las Vegas also, the hub airports have generally not been impacted by this. They're trying to, for example, and I don't know this to be a fact, But Sacramento has a flight a day to Palm Springs and a flight a day to Eugene and a flight a day to Santa Barbara. And I would think that maybe some of those would be more likely to come down. But it really depends. This is a slow time of the year. Pre-Thanksgiving is one of the slowest times of the year. And then after Thanksgiving, for a couple weeks until we get to closer to Christmas, will also be one of the slow times. So it's easier right now for the airlines to cut the schedules. Did speak to someone here in Ottawa who yesterday got caught at Washington National because they had an airplane, but they didn't have a crew. Because when you start randomly canceling flights and stuff like that, you're going to get crews stuck in places and they can't get out. They can't get to where it is that they're supposed to be to take their next flight. So that's going to get messier as this goes on. But I really firmly, truly believe that the legislators of the country will not let this go very much further. If the TSA people walk out before Thanksgiving, that would be a public relations disaster for just about every major politician in the country. I can't imagine, whether you were a donkey or an elephant, not getting yourself in a truckload of trouble if people can't get where they're going for Thanksgiving. So they're not going to care whose fault it is. They're just going to come with pitchforks and look for people. So my wisdom is, if you're one of those lawmakers, there's got to be a way to figure this out. There has to be a way to figure this out. All right, let's move on here with a couple of other quick travel news items before it's time for us to move on. Hotel taxes in the country. You may not be aware of this as a traveler, but hotel taxes have really gotten out of control recently. When I went in business over 40 years ago, I remember Seattle was the highest hotel tax in the country. It was like 12%. And we were just in amazement that any city could charge visitors that much money. But now the average hotel tax in the country is roughly 15%. That means if you buy a $250 hotel room, which is not necessarily going to get you the Hyatt Regency these days, you're paying $37.50 in hotel taxes at 15%. That's a lot of money. So there's not a whole heck of a lot that you can do about it, but hotel taxes are getting really out of hand. San Diego just tried to won a tiered increase in an appeals court ruling here just a few weeks ago. So take a look. There's not a whole lot that you can do about it, but sometimes, like, I'm in a border town here, Ottawa, so it's very entirely possible that staying on the other side of the river could save me 5-7% a night just in taxes. Hotel taxes, something. Look on your next hotel bill and tell me if that isn't kind of an interesting surprise down there. It's not that they didn't, you know, it's not that they didn't tell you they were going to charge this, but some of the amounts have gotten a little bit ridiculous. Southwest Airlines is in trouble with flyers with allergies because they are bringing pistachios on board. Pistachios are one of the nuts that folks, most tree nuts that most folks who have nut allergies have problems with. They are going to serve these pistachios to folks who buy their extra legroom seats up in the front of the plane. Of course, for some people who have allergies like nut allergies, that could be a problem. So if you are allergic to pistachios, you may be looking for a new airline before too awful long. And a quick reminder here that JetBlue and United customers, you can now use and burn loyalty points, miles on each airline. So if you fly JetBlue, you can get your miles credited to United if you wish. If you fly United, you can have them credited to your JetBlue account. You can use United miles to buy a JetBlue flight, et cetera, et cetera. So you can check if you are a fan or a flyer of United or JetBlue. Some things have changed there with frequent flyers. And that is your travel news for today.
And we are Mark and Tom, the travel and entertainment guys, brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations. Rudy's Hideaway. Most popular special is returning for the month of November. The Petite Surf and Turf for $39.95, my friends. That's right, Rudy's slow-roasted herb. Hold on a second. Rudy's slow-roasted herb prime rib paired with a petite Maine lobster tail. Yeah, baked potato and warm sourdough French bread, all for only $39.95. And Rudy's is my favorite restaurant, and I think if you Take a couple of minutes and you go there, it'll be yours before you know it, especially with the Petite Surf and Turf Special. Also, it's available for lunch Tuesday through Thursday, dinner 7 nights a week. Plenty of time to take advantage of the Petite Surf and Turf before the month of November runs out. It's also time to start thinking about your holiday parties, and Rudy's Hideaway has a banquet and dining for groups from 8 to 80. So Rudy's Hideaway Lobster House, perfect place for prime rib and lobster and Christmas parties. Easy to find right off of Hazel and Highway 50 in Rancho Cordova, and we'll see you there. Next up on the Travel Guys, it's the Smarter Traveler segment. We're going to talk about how you're going to get nickeled and dimed, not just with the airlines any longer. We're adding the hotels to that. Find out more when we return here on the Travel Guys. It's Mark Hoffman and Tom Romano. We are the Travel and Entertainment Guys. Follow us at TravelGuysRadio.com. I'm hearkening back to the top of the show where I made the remark that there's a chance I could be charged for parking at a hotel whether I have a car in the lot or not. And I'm a little disturbed, Mark.
Well, hotels have been getting away with this for years with this thing called a resort fee, an amenity fee, a destination fee. They're creative in what they call it now. They add $5, $10, $20, $30, $50 a night to your room bill, and it's for amenities in the hotel. And you say, well, wait a minute. This I'm paying you $25 a night for free phone calls. I have my own phone. For the gym, I'm not going into the exercise room and the pool. I'm not going to use it. And for parking, but you don't charge for parking anyway. So why am I paying you this money? Well, you don't have any choice. It's a mandatory fee. And we've talked about that on this program many times before, so I won't go into detail about that today. But they're getting more creative now. Hotels are starting to – if you used to call a hotel and say, hey, you know, I'd like to have some extra pillows in my room, they'll still say that's fine. But then when you go to leave, you'll see that there's a $10 charge on your bill for extra pillows. If you the whole parking thing, many of these smaller properties now, Hampton Inns, Courtyards, things like this, are adding a minimal resort fee, destination fee to your bill, saying, you know, it's an extra $20 a night. Well, what do I get for that? Oh, that includes parking and use of the gym and, you know, this free coffee in the morning and all this stuff. And you're like, I didn't bring a car. I don't have a car. I took an Uber to the hotel. I don't have a car. I'm leaving on a flight at 6 a.m. I don't use any of those things. Oh, well, sir, that's just part of the service that we don't provide here at the Courtyard Hampton, whatever hotel it is. What has happened is the hotels have been watching the airlines. You're willing to pay the airlines more money for a few extra inches of leg room, or now they even charge you to sit in the middle of the plane instead of the back. You want an aisle seat with no extra leg room. Oh, that costs extra money too. Don't think the hotels haven't been watching all of this. And so now what's going to happen is they're going to offer you a room rate. Some have already done this. It's $10 more and you get 10 times the points. Well, just remember that those points are printed / given by the hotel and they decide the redemption rates. So it's very easy to devalue those points along the way. So be careful. If a hotel is saying, well, yeah, it costs more, but here's all of this extra you get, are you really getting more than a cup of coffee, a bag of potato chips, and some extra bonus points at the end of the day? And is the hotel really taking you to the cleaners? So extra requests like that are probably going to cost extra money. And yes, many hotels now are starting to charge a fee for parking, whether you are parking a car there or not, because after all, they say, we have to provide this parking facility. So the fact that you're not using it, it's the same philosophy as the gym. If you're going to charge me to use the gym, but I'm not using it, but you're going to charge me anyway, so go to your room. Didn't bring a car. We're going to charge you for parking anyway. So go to your room and leave us alone. So just be careful. Hotels have this drip pricing has been going on for a while in the travel industry. My job as a tour operator who puts together travel packages is to try to keep my people out of as many of those things as possible. When I negotiate a hotel rate, I talk to them and say, look, I'm not paying this $40 a night resort fee, so because we're not going to use these services. So either the fee goes away or comes down dramatically, or we'll just find another hotel. And frequently it goes away or comes down dramatically. That's not something that you can do as an individual traveler. But when I'm buying 20 rooms for five nights, that's 100 rooms. I have a little bit more negotiating power sometimes. But just be careful, because what's going to start happening is going to be this drip pricing, or things that used to be free are not going to be free the next time around.
Well, I can see it pretty soon. It's going to be, would you like a bed with that hotel room? Or perhaps some maybe running water? You know, we don't turn the water on for everybody. That's water doesn't come cheap. And, or better yet, we have the water there, but it's you're going to be charged if for any reason you actually use it. Wow, fascinating.
Here's a bath towel, but if you want a washcloth, that's a little extra.
You know, even as an individual, it doesn't hurt to ask for either a waiving or a reduction of a resort fee. Once in a while, you can get lucky.
That is true. That is true.
All right. We are Mark and Tom, the Travel and Entertainment Guys. Thanks for coming along. We've been very, very excited for some time about this interview that's coming up next. Not often that you get a chance to spend 30 minutes with Sacramento legend Gary Gerald, the G-Man. I think most everybody in this town knows who he is. If you spend this next 30 minutes, you'll know more than you ever have before. So thanks for coming along. Enjoy the interview. We are the Travel Guys. Gary coming back in just a minute. Hey there, it's Mark Hoffman and Tom Romano. We are the Travel and Entertainment Guys, brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations. Thanks for coming along. As we promised, we're bringing on someone that listeners to this particular radio station are very, very familiar with. They're his and our G-Man, Gary Gerald, longtime voice of the Sacramento Kings, longtime acquaintance of myself and Mark, for that matter. Gary, I don't know if you remember this, but you used to bring Bobby to work with you at Channel 3, and the radio station was just down the hallway in the building, and while you were preparing the 11 o'clock news, you'd say, Tom, can Bobby hang out with you and maybe pull records for you or something? Do you remember that?
Oh, yeah, sure do. Those were, you used the phrase long time, I think twice, and I think that just means that we're all getting a little bit older, a little longer in the tooth. But those are good memories. Sure. And Bobby, to this day, I mean, has great interest in the broadcast business in one thing or another, and he follows a lot of different operations rather closely.
Well, back in the day, in the 90s, there was a second sports station in town, old Top 40 station that couldn't be heard in Orangeville after dark, KSAC, and I had the privilege of being a little bit of that team for a little while there. Before that, Gary, there was a basketball team in Sacramento, a semi-pro team before the Kings got here for a couple of years, and I was kind of involved with that, the Sacramento Prospectors, and that's where we first got an opportunity to meet each other. So that would have been pretty close to 50 years ago, a little more than that, probably.
Oh, my gosh, that doesn't seem possible. I remember, Memorial Auditorium was the home for the Sacramento Prospectors, if I remember correctly.
That's you're right. The first year, Memorial Auditorium, and the second year, Mariloma High School. You've been a broadcaster now. I looked this up, 64 years, it says somewhere online.
Well, that's hard to believe. I was fortunate as a youngster. I grew up in a small town in Michigan, and the local radio station was about a mile from my home. My father passed away when I was 12 years old, and my mom frequently had medical issues, and so I found myself being on my own on a frequent basis. And for whatever reason, I had always, enjoyed listening to the radio, one thing or another, and I started going to the local hometown radio station on a daily basis, and virtually every night I would go there and just hang out, and I learned a lot about small town radio at a pretty young age. So that's kind of where it all began as a teenager in Michigan, and I was fortunate enough to get weekly show of my own relating to high school activities and sports and one thing or another. And so, yeah, it's been a long, long journey, but it's been one that's been filled with so many different adventures and so many great opportunities, and has, of course, provided countless tremendous memories. So I consider myself to be very, very blessed in that regard.
Well, and I remember, I've heard you tell the story more. We haven't seen each other for a while, but I remember more than once you telling the story about how you had a gig at KCRA Channel 3 for, what, pretty close to a decade or something like that. And one day they decided that they wanted somebody more splashy or more controversial to do the sports. And what could have been a career-ending blow turned out maybe to be the, one of the best things that ever happened to you.
Well, and fortunately, at the time, it was devastating, of course. And you had a, you know, a young family, didn't know what was going to happen. But we all know any business can be volatile, and there can be unexpected potholes in the road. And that was a major one. But I sat down with my family, and we all just collectively said, somehow we will make this the best thing that has happened to us. And so fortunate that it worked out. And I checked, you know, trying to find job opportunities, and I didn't want to leave California. So San Francisco, LA, San Diego were the logical spots. Nothing was available at the time. And so we decided to kind of go the independent contractor route, and it all worked out extraordinarily well.
How did you happen to get hired by the Kings? Is there a story there that you can tell?
Sure. It was January of 1985. I got a phone call out of the blue from a fellow by name of Gregory Dutch Van Dusen, who was a friend. He was involved in various media opportunities in Sacramento. He had gone to Kansas City to work with the Kansas City Kings when a Sacramento group took ownership. So for 2 years, I think it was 2 years in Kansas City before they actually made the move to Sacramento. So I get this phone call from Dutch, and he says, Gary, I want to play What If with you. And I'm thinking, oh, this is kind of bizarre. And so I said, well, okay, what if what? And he said, what if the Kansas City Kings were to move to Sacramento? Would you be interested in being the radio voice of the Kings? And I was dumbfounded. I took a moment and I said, well, of course I would. I said, there probably have to be some arrangements made, some consideration for the fact that I was doing things as an independent contractor with NBC Sports out of New York. He said, that wouldn't be a problem. Well, that, you know, what an enticement and what an intriguing phone call. And then a couple of weeks or so go by, and I get a phone call from fellow by the name of Paul Aaron, who I believe at that time was the general manager of KFBK Radio. And he said, Gary, I'm going to be going to Kansas City in a couple of days. I'm going to meet some of the folks within the organization. Would you be interested in going? Well, I'm thinking, wow, you know, the old saying, where there's smoke, there's fire. Apparently there's something brewing here. So I said, well, of course. So I went with Paul. We went to Kansas City, saw the Kings in action, met Joe Axelson, the general manager, Bob Whitsitt, the assistant GM. Julie Fye was the head of media relations at that time. Kevin Harlan, who's a well-known broadcast voice, was doing radio for the Kings at that point. So we met everybody and then came back to Sacramento, and another few weeks pass, get a phone call saying, Gary, the Kings are coming out to the West Coast. They're going to be playing in L.A. against the Lakers. They're going to be playing in Oakland against the Warriors. We'd like you to tape record those games. Okay. Took my son out of school. He was in high school at Kennedy. And we went south, went to the airport Marriott in L.A. Bill Jones was the athletic trainer for the Kings at that time, and he was Mr. Everything, because the organizations, you know, 40 years ago were so small. You had one head coach, one assistant coach. You had a PR person. And then you had maybe 15 to 20 people in the front office, and that was it, compared to now when there are 300-plus people in every pro sports organization. So at any rate, we go to L.A. We're at the airport Marriott. Bill Jones makes contact, says, join us on the airport shuttle. We'll go to the arena at such and such a time. We get on the shuttle bus, my son and myself, and here's, you know, Reggie Theus and LaSalle Thompson, Eddie Johnson, Larry Drew, et cetera. They're all looking at us like, who the heck are these guys and why are they on our shuttle bus? And Jonesy says to them, this is Gary and his son Bob. They're cool. Treat them with respect. And from that moment on, we were treated like family. So we did the game in L.A. up in the nosebleeds. I was a couple of rows up beyond the legendary Chick Hearn, who was the voice of the Lakers, who was such an amazing broadcaster. We went on to Oakland, did the same thing there. I later found out that those tapes were then my final audition, I guess. And general manager Joe Axelson, when the Kings officially relocated to Sacramento while driving across the country from Kansas City, listened to those tapes. And I remember at a later date here in Sacramento, one day we were in conversation and he put his arm on my shoulder and he said, kid, I listened to those tapes. You were a hell of a lot better than you had any right to be. And I thought, little did he know that I hadn't done basketball for 15 years prior to that particular occasion. So it was memorable. And that's kind of a lengthy answer, Mark, to your question about how it all came about.
No, it's a great, great story, Gary. A great story. Where are those tapes?
I have no idea. No idea.
They would be fun to listen to. And I bet you.
Oh, my God. I don't...
But then again, maybe not. I know in my early days, I have a lot. I've buried a lot of audio tape over the years. Our special guest, Gary Gerald. We call him the G-Man, the voice of the Sacramento Kings. We're going to switch gears and talk a little bit about Gary's travel. See if he's got a travel tip or two for you when we return right here with the Travel Guys. Hey there, it's Mark Hoffman and Tom Romano. We are the Travel and Entertainment Guys, brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations. We're with Gary Gerald. I don't even need to explain to our listeners who Gary is, the voice of the Sacramento Kings forever. Gary, we want to touch on a few things having to do with travel, which was pretty much the reason that I called you, because this is a travel show and nobody knows more about independent travel than you do. Let's start off, Gary, with a... We'll fire it at you. You can fire some answers back. First of all, your favorite city and why?
Oh, my. When it comes to favorite anything, I'm not one of those people that can define one specific. So many things jump into my mind. In the continental United States, encompassing, you know, NBA travel, obviously I love New York. It's always great to go to Chicago. Great to go to Miami, even though it's like visiting a third world country sometimes. But there are a lot of different favorites in that respect. Internationally, I've always enjoyed Toronto, Vancouver, and I've been blessed with some great travel opportunities over the years. While I worked with NBC, I spent nearly 40 years at a network level and had the opportunity to basically travel the world, doing a sports anthology show on NBC at that time called Sports World. And I was fortunate enough, even as an independent contractor, that by contract, I was allowed to take my wife, Marlene, on three different junkets each year. So, you know, she had the opportunity to join me in going to Sydney, Australia, going Rio de Janeiro, going to Seoul, Korea, et cetera, many visits to Europe. And so that was an extraordinary time, because I look back at those times and I think I was so fortunate, because I got in on the tail end of the era when the networks were absolute kings in broadcasting. You didn't have the hundreds of cable stations and opportunities for broadcasting that you have now that we've become so accustomed to. But at that time, it was NBC, ABC, CBS. And there might be one or two independent stations in whatever market you went into. And that was it. And money was no object for the networks, whatever it took to get the job done. And to be able to be part of that in the final dwindling years of when money didn't matter to the networks, it's a far different case now. Things are done so much more economically and efficiently. But those made for memorable times, no question.
I'm guessing, Gary, that when you're on the road with the Kings, NBA teams, I'm sure, stay in very, very nice accommodations and probably accommodations that are fairly central to where it is that they're playing. Do you have a favorite hotel, or again, if it's more than one, a couple places that you just, you know, you walk in the door and you say, wow, it's really nice to be back here. Like, for example, the Marriott Marquis in New York City in Times Square is a hotel that my company uses for all of our Broadway mm-hmm. trips. And when I walk in there, it's a big, huge, high-rise hotel, but I've been going there so long that it almost feels like home to me when I walk in. Do you have any places like that on the road?
Well, there. I mean, we're so fortunate because I think back to the early years, Mark, of King's Travel. And, you know, a great hotel at that time to stay in would might happen to be a Hyatt Regency or a Marriott. There were, you know, they were the various chain hotels. Well, now you stay in these grand hotels, and I, you know, you talk about specific ones. One that pops immediately into my mind, even though we only go to Chicago once a year, we almost always stay at the Peninsula, and that's a terrific hotel. But, you know, you stay at Ritz-Carlton's, you stay at Four Seasons. You know, you're so fortunate to be able to stay in such places in the, that are so elegant and so grand. And it helps, you know, travel can be tough. We all know that. It can mm-hmm. be difficult. But to be able to stay in digs like that, it's that's pretty doggone cool.
Well, and NBA players and broadcasters and other support staff, you're flying at all times and arriving at all times of the day. And so hotels that are truly full service that can provide meals and things like that at odd times of the day takes on a much greater importance, I think, than it does for a regular traveler.
I have to ask. Mm-hmm. I want a tip for our listeners. We're here to make people smarter travelers. How about a packing trip from the G-Man? Like, you know, packing your luggage. And
well, I don't know that I have any secrets. I'm one of those who tries to be prepared for any and all occasions. And so by many standards, including probably yours as travelers, I probably overpack. But that's always been kind of the way that I go about doing things. No specific tips. It's just try to be prepared for any and all occasions. And so if it means taking, you know, an extra set of rain gear, fine. Do make sure that's in there. Do you need an umbrella? Okay, make sure that that's in there. Those types of things, in addition to just the normal, you know, the shaving, the socks, the underwear, the belt, the coats, the ties, the sweaters, the shoes, all of that business.
How many suitcases have you been through?
Oh, my. That's an interesting question.
That is
a very interesting question. I don't have a number, but I'd say it's got to be in excess of a dozen, I would think, over the years. They get beat up, you know. They really take a pounding over a period of time when you're on the road. I don't travel nearly as much now as I used to. My travel is confined to the Kings. And so, you know, you get to fly on charter aircrafts and you get a lot of perks that go with that. But then there was, I mentioned, close to 40 years of doing network television, and that was travel. I did a tremendous amount of motorsports activity. That was one of the staples over the years. And I've been fortunate to do almost every kind of motorsports imaginable and in locations around the world. So I was on the road traveling. You know, the racing season goes from like mid-February to mid-November. And so I was on the road almost every weekend in addition to Kings basketball. The basketball season is defined from the end of September basically until the middle of April. And then on if you're into a playoff scenario. But travel was such a big part of my life for so many years. And, you know, I think about the mileage. I used to keep track of it specifically, but I'm somewhere in the vicinity of probably 6 million miles or so of air travel. And that's a pretty significant number.
Yeah, just to give listeners an idea, I've been in the travel business for 45 years. I've about 3.5 to 4 million miles. So, and that's what I do for a living. And here's a man talking about 6 million miles. So that tells you that he's been around a little bit.
Gary,
yeah.
Do you take your own pillow?
I do. I have a small pillow that always goes in my suitcase. Yeah.
Excellent.
You must have, this is really putting you on the spot, so I apologize for this, but do you have any other little things that you do? I mean, you fly a lot. So are you a good sleeper on a plane?
Yes and no. I can fall asleep fairly easily. I have sound diffuser type of headphones, which is a given to me. In terms of hotel, I use a diffuser at night to help, you know, blanket out some of the extraneous noise and street noise and things like that that you may encounter if you're in a major metropolitan area, of course. I'm trying to think if there are other little things. On the plane, I use the air travel as time to do a lot of homework. And yeah. So I try to make good use of the time. But then, you know, there are those nights when, you know, you play a game, you go and you get on an airplane an hour and a half later, and then 45 minutes after that, you're finally in the air and you're going on to your next city, and maybe you're playing that next night as well. We call them back-to-backs. And, you know, it's not uncommon to be walking into your hotel room at 3 o'clock in the morning and, you know, having to kind of unpack, and you're winding down from that night's game. So much for the so-called glamour of travel. Those are genuine challenges at times. But I've also, I feel like you get somewhat conditioned to travel. And you have to, I guess, if you travel on a regular basis. For folks that don't travel that often, you know, I can see where there can be anxiety about making sure that you anticipated all the proper things and that you've got your tickets and boarding passes and one thing or another, and what's going to happen in terms of going through security and all of that. So I think there's a huge difference between being a veteran traveler as opposed to being maybe a once a year type traveler going on a family vacation, something like that.
Gary, you're under contract to the Kings for, what, another season or two?
Another season, yeah. We coming to the end of a contract at the end of this next season, yes.
So the obvious question here, my friend, is how long do you want to be the broadcaster of the Sacramento Kings?
It's a good question, and I think it's a legitimate question. I love that I have the opportunity at my age to do what I do. I've appreciated the tremendous support that I've had from the various ownership groups with the Kings over the years. My wife and I have always had a kind of a long time agreement that centers around three things, that it is first and foremost fun, that you enjoy the opportunity. Second, that you have good enough health that you can handle that. And thirdly, from my own standpoint, and this sounds kind of petty and selfish, but you want to feel, at least I do, you want to feel like you're wanted. And when the time comes that that's not the case, then I think it's time to make some decisions that could be difficult. It's been an unusual year and going into this season simply from the fact that I had to put my wife Marlene into an assisted living facility late spring, early summer. And that kind of turns your world upside down. And so with that in mind, and the fact that next week we're going to be going on our first lengthy road trip of the season, it's difficult knowing that, you know, Marlene, still a great fan, still listens to games on a regular basis. So it's a different time. But in answer to your question, I guess, you know, I think that I still have a passion for what I do. I think that I still do a respectable job, and I want to do more than a respectable job. I really diligently believe in, you know, doing the homework. I don't have one of those minds that retains everything. I have to have fingertip information. So even when you call today, I'm working on, you know, prep for teams and games and going through media guides and one thing or another and making notes and getting ready for the adventure. But I look back at this is year number 41 for me with the Kings, their 41st year here in Sacramento. Man, it's been just such a tremendous opportunity. And while it's been so frustrating at different times because you struggle to get wins, it's still, you know, you look at it and you think, I've been blessed to do this for this long, and I am among a rather select group because there are only 30 individuals who have the opportunity to do what I do on a regular basis in the National Basketball Association.
Well, Gary, for those of us who have been Kings fans for your run, I just want to take a second here and thank you very much for your time. It's been fascinating to listen to your stories here, and let's do this again sometime. I'm very grateful for your time. Thank you.
Well, I thank you, Tom and Mark. I appreciate your interest and enjoy the fact that you find enjoyment in what you do and in your various business and broadcast opportunities. And so it's a mutual admiration society, no question.
Thank you so much, Gary. We appreciate all that you do. Have a great call every game. And it wouldn't be the Kings broadcast without you. That's all I've got to say. Once again, Gary Gerald, our special guest here with the Travel and Entertainment Guys. Gary, thanks so much.
You bet.
Gary Gerald, what a terrific man.
If you missed any of this interview or any of the Travel Guys show today or past shows, don't forget now you can go to TravelGuysRadio.com. There's a place there where you can get all of the Travel Guys podcasts. Thanks for joining us. That's it for this week. Be here next Saturday at 11 a.m. We'll make you a smarter traveler next time you get out on the road.
Absolutely. Thank you for the pleasure of your company. Be sure to dance like nobody's watching. We'll see you next Saturday morning at 11 o'clock.
Always leaving town. He never has the time to turn around.